winter still is here in Vermont, I'll tell you. And I have to say it's here everywhere in Vermont. But in Groton, there's just a little step up on winter in Groton. And I have to tell you, I'm honestly tired. I'm tired of the labor and all this. And I woke up tired. Praise God. This is not a complaint. I have to tell you one other little side part. I started my car, and lady was in it, and I put everything in it. And it's been windy. So, you know, you shovel, and then the wind blows it, and you shovel. And I hadn't shoveled this morning, and I went to my wood shed to get wood. And I walked through maybe 4 feet of windblown snow and got a handful of wood covered with snow. I walked out, and down I went. It's hard to walk through snow. And so, praise God. You know, I mean, it's just wearisome. And actually, this morning I took some ibuprofen because I've had, like, kind of a dull ache going on for a while now. But the thing that was so praiseworthy in the midst of all this, and why I say this isn't a complaint, is though my physical body is wearied under this winter, my soul and spirit was not. And, you know, I can only worship the Lord and how good He is, how great He is. And I'm going to read a little bit out of Psalm 34. I didn't read this morning. In fact, the way my morning went, just to kind of show you, was the last day or two, Psalm 37 has been on my mind because it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And I have found myself a little bit fretted over evildoers. And one thing I lifted up to the Lord yesterday was, I know He says to be angry and sin not. And in the midst of this kind of, in my face knowledge of some stuff that's going on, I didn't want to sin. Because the truth of the matter is, I cannot minister the salvation of Jesus Christ out of anger. And it's one of those things that I just ask the Lord to sort out for me, because I, even myself, don't always know where to stand in the midst of these things. I mean, I know where to stand in the Lord, but I want my attitude to be right in Him. And He's able to do that. And He's the only, you know, I mean, I want, in the day I have a conversation with whoever, to minister rightly. And it's not going to come if I am fretting myself because of evildoers. And, you know, the Lord is gracious, because I woke up this morning tired. I woke up about 4:45. I was tired. And the first thought that came to my mind was fret about the evildoer that I was putting off fretting about the day before. And you know what? I just rejected it. I got out of bed pretty quickly, which sometimes I kind of hang out in bed a little while when I wake up. And I came downstairs, and as I said, I was physically tired. And, you know, I started a fire and fed lady and took her out and all that kind of stuff. And I remember how David would encourage himself in the Lord. And so I did. I went in and I listened to a past service, one that was short, but one that would just minister to me and wash me and remind me. And I prayed, you know, today is Sunday. There's services going out on this network. There's multiple pulpits being spoken from through the Eagle Radio. But we're not the only ones. There are people out there that we don't even know who are rising up to minister the word. And there's a people to hear that word. Christ died for the whole world. And his body is found throughout the whole world. And we can even be a part of the building up of that body that we don't know. We can be a part of his word being proclaimed, rightly divided unto others. We can be a part of praying for those we may never know we prayed for to hear. You know, Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll tell you, he is beyond worthy of that praise. His love is that kind of love that when Paul speaks in Ephesians, and I was going to say Ephesians 4, but it's 3. The end of chapter 3, he says, there's a prayer here, and it starts on 14 where Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that's you and me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. When I think of that breadth and length and depth and height, the love of Christ is so deep and so wide and so tall that there is nothing excluded from me in him. There is no sin that the depth and breadth and height of his love has not washed away. And that's why I can say, as verse 2 of 34 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. My soul was at rest. My soul was not weary. My soul praised the Lord because her boast is the Lord. I knew and know and stand in the surety of being a member and part of his body because he said it. Because he laid down terms that I have met. I believed him. And I take an enormous amount of hope in such scriptures as, that which is impossible with man is possible with God. There is nothing too big about me or about you or about anybody that God isn't bigger than. And there's a hope in that that cannot be confounded. There's a victory in that that we can press on to in all things. Because what is impossible with me is not impossible with God. He is my hope. And he is my salvation. And I am not weary in that hope. Though my body will weary, and I praise God that this winter will depart. And, I will say this, my driveway shrunk, my pathways have shrunk. I dwell in my house, it hasn't shrunk. But that'll end, praise God. It doesn't affect me and my hope, notwithstanding. And I know that he will strengthen me to whatever task it is I have in the spirit and in just my walking through of my days. And fret not myself. You know what? The humble will hear and be glad. And those who I let myself get upset about, I pray that they will become the humble, that they may be here, that they may hear and be glad. God is good.
Praise the Lord. Well, I understand what it's like to sometimes be angry. Not really feel like having a good attitude. Anybody ever not feel like having a good attitude? Yeah. I get that. I've had one of those days where I haven't felt like having a good attitude. Yeah, there you go. But I want to share a couple of things here. First of all, what Robin was reading out of Ephesians 3, I want to look at something. She began with verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, I mean, all the different things that Robin was talking about really begin with that bowing of the knee. Okay, because when we bow our knee, it's to acknowledge someone greater than ourselves, right? I mean, we don't bow our knees to, when we say hello to our neighbor, you don't see us all falling all down on our knees before him all the time, do you? And so it's not something that's like a regular part of our life. But in the Lord and what he has done and what he yet can and will accomplish in our lives is worth bowing our knees before. And I say can and will. When we get into those places where we have the bad attitudes, we get the different types of things, when we get past ourself, which the getting past ourself is this. When we have a bad attitude, the reason why we want to hang on to it is because we're justified and we're right for having our bad attitude, right? And that's why we don't want to give it up. And to give it up means we have to acknowledge we're wrong, which that kind of freaking sucks when you think you're right and you deserve to have your bad attitude, right? I mean, it's really hard to want to give that up, and especially because if there's another individual involved, the part that we misunderstand all the time is just because we're wrong doesn't mean they're right. Probably the most common condition out here amongst people is we're both wrong. I mean, that's probably the most common condition when we are having a problem with somebody else's. They're wrong and I'm wrong. But the thing is we can see they're wrong, right? And that's nice to focus on and everything like that because it kind of takes the heat off of us. But when we realize that, wait a second, I'm wrong too. It doesn't make that other person right, but I'm wrong. When you do that, the entire dynamic changes between you and that individual. Everything changes. But the hard part is somebody has to begin that process. As long as both sides are pointing the finger at the other and thinking that the other's wrong, well, nothing changes. All you get is more angry and more frustrated and nothing good comes of it. Certainly, the gospel is not ministered in that situation. So in order to get to the place where we minister the gospel, we have to acknowledge we're wrong. And the one we have to do that before is the one we bow our knees to. Amen? See, and that's one of the beauties is, in the Lord and his grace and his mercy, he allows us to get alone with him. You know, he allows us to get alone with him and get down to that place where we just acknowledge, all right, I'm wrong. And then what happens is when we've done in secret there with him, now when we go out again, that very same situation that before had us under bondage and the like, we're free of now. And we can minister freely in him in that situation, which changes everything. It may not change the other person, The other person's attitude may not change, but it also may change. The best hope they have that will change is when we do this part, right? When we do this part, then we're planting a seed of love. And that seed of love can grow. And that seed of love can bloom. And that seed of love can transform that other individual's life. But it begins with us getting down to that place of realizing we're wrong. He goes, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom," now I want you to look at this, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now this is not all people. This is God's family. Okay, when we take on the name Christian, we say, when we acknowledge it, when we proclaim it, that we are a Christian, that we're a believer on Jesus Christ, we're saying that we're part of God's family. And when you do that, you know what happens with people? Well, first of all, a lot of people get angry. I mean, they get angry. They don't like the fact. Because by implication, when you say that you're a Christian and they don't say the same back, you know what they think? You're judging them. It's funny how many people say that. We've run into it a lot, Robin and I and our family at times say, "Well, I'm a Christian." And their response is, "Well, what are you saying about me? I didn't say anything about you. I said, I am a Christian. I didn't say anything about you." "Well, what are you saying? You're saying my religion isn't right?" I said, "I am a Christian. If your religion isn't right, that's your problem. I didn't say anything about your religion, did I?" You follow what I'm saying? You literally haven't said anything about theirs. All you've said is you proclaimed, "I am a Christian," and people take offense. Isn't it an amazing thing? And they blame you. They charge you with all sorts of things that you haven't said. "But is not my religion good enough for you?" I just said, "I'm a Christian." I didn't say anything about your religion. And I just say this because we have to learn to stand and rest in that place. Okay, what happens is we take that and we take it as though, well, maybe we have done something to them. And then we start justifying ourselves, right? "Well, that ain't right. That isn't right." And what happens is when we start justifying ourselves before them, then the weight of what our statement is gets lost. Because all we've said is, "I am a Christian." Just let that sit there. Just let it sit there with them. Now, the other beauty of this is, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, is that when you become a Christian, when you choose to confess the fact that you are a sinner to your Heavenly Father and thank Him for the fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you, and you ask Him to come into your heart as your Lord and your Savior, you know what? You become a new child, a new creature in Christ. That new creature is not your outside flesh. I've been with some of you when you've accepted Christ, and some of you have been with me when I have. I look the same before and after. Right? So did you. Right? But the thing is that what changed is that part that Robin was talking about there. Our soul was cleansed. And our spirit was reborn. All right. Now, when you have a newborn's a rather, well, thankfully not too fragile. They seem unbelievably fragile. You know what I'm saying? When you pick up a newborn, it's like, oh, my God. This thing could break or this thing could whatever. You know what I'm saying? But the amazing thing is how resilient they are. It's really an amazing thing. And the same is true with us in Christ. But that new creature needs to be nourished, it needs to grow, just like the new creature out here does. And that's something that we, in ministering to one another, always have to keep at the forefront with respect to one another. All right? Is what we're ministering edification? Is it helping to build up and establish that person in Christ Jesus? Or is it not? Now, the other side of this is, and this is the last week we were talking about unpleasant truths that come up. You know, Robin was talking about how, for example, you know, all things are possible unto Christ, right? With God, all things are possible. Do you ever feel like that just doesn't apply to you? That I mean, it may apply to that person over here. You could see how God could do all things through that person, but me, myself, and I, and my problems are just too big for him. Anybody ever have that issue come up in their minds? Nine. And this is where the rubber hits the road as an individual, okay? Because you have a choice now. Are you going to believe what the Word says, or are you going to believe what you feel? Because I can tell you, you don't feel like all things are possible unto you. All right? And those feelings, of course, are tied to your flesh, and they're liars. Has anybody ever found your feelings to be liars? Like, you really felt something for a boy one time, or a girl, or something like that? And anybody ever have those kinds of feelings and then found out that that was a big mistake? Or maybe that other person expressed feelings to you about you and turned out that that was a big fat lie and you left heartbroken and stuff like that. Anybody ever have things like that happen? I think that's about as common as being a person or a teenager or a young adult or what have you. Very common, these kinds of things. See, those things lie. The Word of God does not lie. But we have to choose to believe it. And when it talks about that we are that whole family of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See, what we need to look at is what our Heavenly Father can accomplish, not what we think we can accomplish. When we look at what our Heavenly Father can accomplish, all things are possible. All right, when we look at what we can accomplish, nothing seems possible. And the more we look to that, I'll tell you what, the more you grow and grow stronger in Christ. You know, just like we've had our children out this year, we've physical education for our children has included things like skiing. And so we've put them out there. And if you were to look at them the first day they put skis on, that wasn't much to look at. But if you were to look at them now, you'd be astonished at how far they've gone. And the reason is we've given them opportunity to practice. We try to get out once a week. Okay? And with their practice, they've become better at all of these things. Just a little funny aside is we have a new Olympic event in Vermont. It's called the mini giant slalom, which is a giant slalom is the race where they have two poles and a flag on top of them, and you go around them. It's usually faster. It's like a downhill. Well, Abby thinks you're supposed to go between those two poles. Nobody else I know can fit between those two poles, but she actually did it. So, funny. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? The fact that she's able to do that shows how much she's grown. And the same is true in you if you would just choose to believe what the Word says. Now, I want you to go down through here in chapter 3 a little farther. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I want you to remember, you are in His family if you have asked Him to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior and believe that He died on the cross for you. Amen? If you believe that, you are now part of His family. And you need to go to Him with the different issues that are going on in your life. Not sit around and think you got to figure it all out yourself. You already spent enough time in your life trying to do that, and it failed. Recognize now you have a Heavenly Father who will help you through these things. He will help you to learn His ways of dealing with these things rather than being caught up in your ways any longer. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Okay? That's a prayer. Lord, grant me, according to the riches of Your glory, to be strengthened with might by Your Spirit in my inner man. You want that? Pray it. that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love. Do you want to be rooted and grounded in love? That when you move, love is what leads you? Love is what you do in word and in deed? You can, because God is love. You follow what I'm saying? Because He is love, you can do these things. Just pray this simple prayer, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. You ever find that you're wondering about Him, struggling? I don't want that, Lord. I want You to dwell in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, that I may be able to understand, have good comprehension with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. In other words, you can get your bachelor's degree, you can get your master's degree, you can get your PhD, you can go to postdoctorate, you can do all of these things, and you know what? You ain't going to get this. This can only come from your Heavenly Father. It's the only way you get it. And you know what? You don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to go spend $20,000 a year going to college or anything like that. All you have to do is pray and believe. That's all you have to do. And He'll work with you. He'll work with you. And just like my children didn't begin day one with perfect skiers, and there's room for them to grow yet hereafter, they've grown a lot in just a couple, 3 months. They've grown extraordinarily in 3 months. You can too. I don't care what the background is. I don't care what the past is. You can grow in this love and walk in this love and minister in this love. And it says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wait a second here. Do you want to be filled with all the fullness of God? Ask. All right? Ask. And then watch where he goes from there. Because unless you think that where we've gotten thus far is like, wow, that's like beyond anything I could ever imagine. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Look, what you and I've just spoken here, and what we've just spoken here, and how awesome this is, that's not even the limit of what you can get. That's not even the limit of what you can get. But if you remember, we started here today with something, which was about that bowing the knees and about the other person and thinking that, you know, look, the reason why we don't get to these places is because we're justified. I mean, that person did me wrong. They're wrong. If you lived in my household, you would have four little ones coming to you continuously about how wrong one of the other of them is. At that particular moment. That's their general thing. One of them is wrong, and therefore the other one is just, and of course we then have fights. Okay? Where that's how it works. But when one of them will recognize that they're wrong, now they can be mindful of the other and minister unto them in love. So, there was something Paul read this morning, and I just want to finish with this as we close out here. And it's in Colossians 3, and I didn't hear all of his thing, but I heard just this very beginning. And I'm going to take it down from verse 1 to probably 7 here, so listen up. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Now, the point I wanted to bring up here is that, see, Christ is the just one, not us. All right, and if you want to go forward in what we were just talking about over here, then you have to acknowledge, first of all, that that's not how you are by nature. And see, we've grown up, most of us have grown up, and our entire life growing up has been one of comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. You know, that person's a bad person. By definition, by implication then, I, by contrast, am good. Why do people do these kinds of things? All right? This is how we grow. Our whole life, our whole mindset is like this from the get-go, and we learn it also, it gets fostered, sadly, often by our parents. And that's how all our parents have known. I can't believe, why do people behave like this? Why do they do these things? Why is that boy like that? Why are this? You know, but you, I mean, or me... You see what I'm saying? We don't even know how much our entire life is steeped in pride and we're just and everybody else isn't. Sure, Wason, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Right? I mean, that is true. Look, I'm not perfect. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that. But compared to that person over there, I'm pretty daggone good. You follow what I'm saying? And we don't realize that whole attitude is what leads all of us to hell. See, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. We don't want to live there anymore, folks. Okay? And it may seem impossible to us to not live there. That's all we've known. But you don't have to be smart. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to comprehend the love of God to pray this prayer out of Ephesians chapter 3 we were looking at, do you? You just have to recognize, you know what? I don't comprehend the love of God. I don't have all of these things. I don't. I sure would like them. Because I don't want to walk in the way in which I've walked in the past. I want to walk as a child of God, not as a child of Jim and Pat, or Ann and Keith, or I forget what your parents' names were, or John and Joan. Sorry, Joan, because she's out there. We got one of them listening. No, we got Ann out there, too. Ann's out there, too. Yep, I don't want to be like her right now. Carrie did have a little of that in her life at times. but you follow what I'm saying? We want to be the children of God. And right now, just when you get away from here, go back and pray this prayer out of Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. Bow your knees unto him and pray this prayer and watch as he works with you and transforms your life. Amen.